More than half of America's embassies and consulates overseas are classified as hardship posts for everything from remoteness of location to poor schools to extreme personal danger. And at this crucial time in international relations, the State Department is having a hard time finding qualified people to work at those posts. Jude Smelzer reports.
The subcommittee hearing on ambassadorial nominations to Oman and Pakistan will come to order.
This summer, senators came together to approve two new U.S. ambassadors, a routine process, but this time there was a twist. The same committee had confirmed a different ambassador to Pakistan just a year earlier, as Senator Paul Wellstone acknowledged.
I want to express my profound gratitude to Ambassador Chamberlain for her service in Pakistan after September 11, and to all of the American and local staff at the American Embassy and consulates in Pakistan.
Since September 11th and the ensuing war in neighboring Afghanistan, there have been a number of attacks on foreigners in Pakistan. Families of U.S. diplomats and even some embassy staff were evacuated from the country. Among the evacuees were Ambassador Chamberlain's two teenage children, and she felt she couldn't be separated from them. And so, just over 9 months after she arrived in Pakistan, Ambassador Chamberlain went back to the U.S. Her story is just the tip of the iceberg. A recent report by the General Accounting Office, the investigative arm of Congress, suggests that many positions at hardship posts are staffed by unqualified people, and some are not staffed at all. Representative Vic Snyder of Arkansas requested the GAO report.
Particularly for the first few months after September 11th, we heard a lot of discussion about, gee, why doesn't the Arab world understand this? Why isn't the American story getting out? Well, then you read through this study, and you see some of the challenges, some of the shortages that some of these key embassies have.
The report found that in many hardship locations, a large number of employees hold positions above their so-called grade levels, meaning essentially that junior foreign service officers are doing jobs that should be done by more experienced members of the Corps. And in some cases, embassies and consulates are forced to hire people who lack the language skills they need. For example, the GAO found that while 93% of foreign service positions in China require language proficiency, only 38% of the officers in that country meet the requirement. And in one consulate in Saudi Arabia, the head of public diplomacy doesn't speak Arabic. So what's causing the problem?
It's just that right now it's a seller's market. And this is what happens when you have a seller's market.
Former U.S. Ambassador to Colombia and longtime Foreign Service veteran Tom Boyatt says there simply aren't enough people to fill all the positions.
If you have 4,000 posts and 3,000 people, they're going to volunteer to go to the safer, more comfortable post. And Colin Powell is moving to correct that, bringing in 1,000 new Foreign Service officers over the next 3 years.
Ambassador Boyatt says the State Department is having to play catch-up now because the Clinton administration made drastic cuts in the Foreign Service budget during the 1990s, and he's still angry about it.
We won the Cold War in 89 and 90. 1991, the Soviet Union ceased to exist. We won. And then, like we always do, we proceeded to disarm unilaterally, both in the military and in the intelligence and in the diplomatic. And we paid for that on September 11th.
But the problem in the Foreign Service is not all about the numbers. Ambassador Boyatt agrees that society has changed since he was a diplomat, especially when it comes to employment for spouses of Foreign Service officers.
That wasn't a problem in my day. We both saluted and went where they sent us and did what we were told to do.
Now, Foreign Service officers have to worry about whether their spouses will be able to find work in an overseas post, and in some cases, whether their families will even be safe. John Nayland is the president of the American Foreign Service Association, a kind of union representing thousands of current and former Foreign Service employees. He also served in Colombia, as well as Nicaragua, another hardship post. He says he likes the high morale and sense of purpose that come with working in difficult places, but now that he has a wife and two young daughters, he admits his considerations would be different.
I think we'd like to take a hardship assignment, but there are different kinds of hardship assignments. I wouldn't want to go back to a danger pay post right now. I wouldn't want to take her to Kabul.
Mr. Nayland thinks those types of concerns are very valid, but he's frustrated that some people in the Foreign Service seem unwilling to serve at hardship locations at all. For that reason, his organization suggested that the State Department make sure all officers do their fair share of service at those types of posts.
We, the union, believe that during the course of a Foreign Service career, that everyone should do service in developing countries and places that aren't, you know, as nice as a Paris, because that allows people like me who prefer hardship posts because of the high morale or whatever reasons, allows us to once in a while, you know, go to Paris.
But the State Department is skittish about forcing people to go places they don't want to go for fear those people will simply resign. The Foreign Service already offers pay incentives for hardship posts and dangerous locations, but Ambassador Boyot thinks different types of rewards might work better.
You can't become an ambassador unless you've had a hardship post, that kind of thing. Or if you, at certain levels, if you want to get promoted, particularly at the senior levels, you have to, you know, punch that hole in the career sheet.
Ambassador Boyot is convinced that many of the problems will disappear when the newly hired Foreign Service officers gain some experience. And there's no lack of interest in the Foreign Service. The number of applicants for the Corps has tripled since September 11th. The challenge will be to make sure the people coming in are well-trained and that they end up in the places they're needed most. For Common Ground, I'm Judith Smelser in Washington.